Real people, real radio.
Initiating the Truth Frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to your daily dose of deprogramming. My name is JD, and we are live. This is, of course, the Red Pill Report's radio broadcast. Today is the fifth day of December, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have done it once again. It is Friday. Thank goodness for that. I hope all of you guys out there are planning on having a nice weekend, a little bit of downtime. Myself, I'm going to do some reading this weekend. I'll tell you what, the weather outside right now is perfect for not going outside because it is cold and rainy and miserable. And just giving you guys a heads up, if the weather is awful there and you're looking for a good book right now, today's guest, Alana Freeland, has written a new book that just came out a few months ago called Chemtrails Harp and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And I'm telling you, this thing is a fantastic book. This is about the perfect weather to curl up with it right now. So I highly recommend picking this one up for this weekend or next. You can find it on Amazon. And we're going to have Alana on in the second hour today to talk about, well, some of the militarization of the geoengineering projects that are going on. We're hopeful that she will also have a guest with her, one gentleman by the name of Billy Hayes. Billy Hayes was actually an engineer that was technically, his title was that of an erector, and what he actually did was work on the HAARP array itself. So we're not talking about somebody whose uncle knows somebody from college who heard a story and read about it in a pamphlet once. We're talking about a guy who actually put up the equipment and really knows firsthand what that equipment is capable of and what some of the dangers of that equipment are. So we're hopeful that Billy will also be joining Alana with us at the 11 o'clock hour. So do stay tuned for that. Should be a fantastic conversation going to the next level in terms of discussion about this geoengineering, this global geoengineering project that's going on. Also want to let everybody know that Monday, Gary Milievsky will be back on the show. We did not get completely finished with our discussion about the hacking of cars and about the potential privacy concerns that are becoming more and more prevalent in our society. So I'm definitely looking forward to speaking with Gary again. And on a side note, Gary actually was the executive producer of a film that just came out called 101 Reasons, which outlines, 101 reasons on why people should be moving to New Hampshire for part of the Free State Project. So I imagine we'll be talking quite a bit about that as well. It's interesting that Gary's background is so tech-oriented, but he spends all of his tech time and tech know-how to capture liberty for all of us and to try and instill those values. And so probably why he is so drawn to living in New Hampshire. So again, Monday, that should be a fantastic discussion with him. He's one of my favorite guests. I'll definitely look forward to having that discussion Monday. I want to recommend everybody again, go and support Truth Frequency Radio. Hit that donate button if you can spare a dollar or two. I'm sure the other hosts and Chris Geo and Sherry Geo would definitely appreciate any support that we can get. The network is currently the number one internet website and internet radio network for alternative news and information, and we'd like to keep it that way. We're certainly excited here at Red Pill Reports to be part of the Truth Frequency family and want to encourage everyone to go out and support that. And speaking of support, I want to ask everybody to go ahead and go to redpillreports.com again today and get the article from Greg Morse. This story is just about ready to finally hit the big time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we've talked about, we've had Greg Morse on for a couple of times, and of course, we've been talking about the mortgage crisis, about the derivatives packaging of the mortgages, the tax evasion that has taken place to the tune of hundreds of trillions of dollars, and then the subsequent funneling of all of the non-tax money going into foreign accounts at banks like USB to funnel little groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and topple governments and things like that. They have all the documentation. This story is going to be absolutely ginormous. It's already ginormous. But the best thing about this is that there is a petition that you can sign and actually do something about this. We can force this issue in front of, you know, congressional testimonies. We can force this issue to come to the top, and all you have to do is go to redpillsreport.com. Right in the very top section there, there is a link to the petition, which is calling for the public federal joint congressional investigation hearings. And I want everybody to sign that. I want people to sign it and pass that link on to other people. Just a heads up, also, Greg was interviewed by David Knight of InfoWars in a relatively long interview just the other day, and we have it on fairly good authority that that will most likely be aired today or Monday. So do keep an eye out for that. As I said, you know, anything that we can do to support Greg at this point, and I mean, because at the end of the day, we're not supporting Greg. We're supporting our own ability to be able to protect our own homes and the values that we've all been led to believe are in our homes. So this is a huge story, guys, and I really want to encourage people to sign this petition. We need to encourage Greg to keep moving forward on this, and we need to let him know that we all stand right beside him in this battle. So please go sign that petition. Please pass that petition around. Let's get this issue resolved. I think in the next couple of weeks that we're going to see some major headway in that, and I definitely am part of definitely happy to be part of that team as we're moving forward. I also, as a heads up here, guys, have it on fairly good authority that as of Monday next week, there's probably a 99% chance we're going to be on international shortwave. I don't have enough information to tell you guys more right now, but it sounds like the first segment of the guest segment of every day's show is going to be on international shortwave. So I will let you guys know what cities and what times as soon as I have more information. But we are very, very excited to be adding, you know, international shortwave, obviously, to the mix, and another way that you guys can hear us. Obviously, you can go to Truth Frequency Radio, get the iPod app or the iPhone app, or the Android app for your phones. You can then funnel any of the shows directly from Truth Frequency right to your phone or Android device, and that will be obviously a good way to keep up. And we're also able to, if you go to redpillsreport.com while the show is live, there's a live link there. And if you're not wanting to use all of your data minutes, you can actually just dial in from your phone if you have unlimited minutes at 832-225-5308, and that'll put you right through to our show or any other show that's going on live at the time when you call that number. So lots of ways that you can listen along. Definitely appreciate all of you guys being here, and I'll tell you what, there is a lot of news to go over today, ladies and gentlemen. So let's move on into the national stuff right now. We'll get into some international news here and then economic stuff. We've got a lot of tech stuff that's happened today and also some interesting health news. So let's just jump right into the international scene. Israel is reporting that one of their largest deserts has been hit by a major oil spill. Millions of liters of crude oil have caused severe damage after spilling from a pipeline in what is being described as one of the worst environmental accidents in Israel's history. The spill reached the Evrona Nature Reserve, north on the southern port of the city of Eilat, which is close to the Jordan border. Israeli officials say that rehabilitation of the area could take months or even years, and the pipeline was breached during a maintenance on some spot about 20 kilometers from Eilat on Wednesday evening. The Evrona is one of the most important nature reserves in the Jordan Rift Valley, which runs from the Sea of Galilee in Israel to the Red Sea. So tragic environmental things happening in Israel right now. South Korea has announced plans to build a giant Christmas tree. Why are they doing that? Well, they are going to do it specifically to annoy North Korea. And I kind of like that. So, South Korea hoping to spread a little bit of Christmas cheer to North Korea this year with the construction of a 30-foot tall Christmas tree along its border with the North, according to the Associated Press. North Korea actually bans public religious practices, but a South Korean Christian group has been given the green light from the government to illuminate a tree on an overlook less than 2 miles from the border. The height of the tree, coupled with the elevation from the hill, should enable North Koreans living in border towns to see the display. And the new tree is actually a replacement for a previous 65-foot tall tower that was first set up in 1971 and had been modified to resemble a Christmas tree. That tower was actually visible over the border by North Koreans, which led to the North declaring the tower as a provocative display of psychological warfare. So the previous tree/pole was taken down earlier this year among threats from Kim Jong-un to shell the tower. And that was, of course, according to the Washington Post. But Korea, South Korea, moving ahead to put up an actual huge Christmas tree display for the people of North Korea, specifically to annoy them. I like that. I think that's a great deal. Okay, Russian President Vladimir Putin had an annual speech on Thursday, and he did defend the Kremlin's aggressive foreign policy, saying the actions are necessary for his country's survival. We're talking, obviously, about Russia annexing Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula back in March, and then has been later accused and is still being accused of supplying pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine with ammunition and manpower. Putin, in his annual State of the Nation address at the Grand Kremlin Palace on Thursday, defended the annexation of Crimea, describing the peninsula as Russia's spiritual ground, quote unquote, our temple mount, and added that the national pride and sovereignty are a necessary condition for the survival of Russia. He goes on to say, if for many European countries sovereignty and national pride are forgotten concepts and a luxury, then for the Russian Federation, a true sovereignty is an absolute necessity. An absolute necessary condition of its existence. He told a room full of cabinet ministers, lawmakers, and community leaders, going on to say that I want to stress either we will be sovereign or we will dissolve in the world. And of course, other nations must understand this as well. More than 4,300 people have been killed in eastern Ukraine in what the West and the Ukrainian government say is conflict fueled by Russian money. Putin once again expressed his displeasure over the toppling of the Ukrainian presidential Viktor Yanukovych, but offered no insight into what Russia's next actions in the eastern Ukraine might be. So Russia still beating the bandwagon, and good for them, standing up for their rights as a sovereign nation. Good on them. In a unusual story that came out of the UAE the other day, there was a murder of an American teacher in a shopping center. In a very unusual incidents that happened, was a woman in a burqa, essentially, with gloves on, face completely covered, targeted this victim who was an American teacher in the UAE, and stabbed her in a bathroom and then ran out of the building. The video is very, very unusual. They're actually calling her. Okay, let me get into this here. So the UAE authorities now say they have arrested this woman for the unprecedented murder of an American teacher in a shopping center, and she's also been linked to a foiled bomb plot against a U.S. doctor's home. The police said the suspect was a 38-year-old Emirati woman whom they have dubbed the Reem Island Ghost. And the reason they're calling her the Reem Island Ghost, and this is why I think this story is very interesting, is because there's one still frame from this from the footage that looks completely unnatural. There's, you know, she's walking around and she has a floor-length burqa on, right? Which means the seam of the burqa rubs up against the floor. There's no extra material. But there's one section of the footage where all of a sudden this material that she's wearing, it's all black, is sprawled out around her, and it looks positively ghost-like. And I'm not just saying that, but, you know, just very interesting. Very interesting, and it's funny now that the police are actually nicknaming her that based on that one particular still shot. But anyway, she's been arrested, probably the first time that a woman has been involved in a quote-unquote terrorist act like this, especially in the UAE. Despite as many foreigners as they do have in their country, they actually have not had a whole lot of terrorist attacks or anything like that. So, tragic incident involving this American teacher who did unfortunately pass away from the stabbing. But they did catch this woman now. Again, you know, seeing her in the footage covered head to toe when you can only see her eyes, how do we know that that was actually the person? She did apparently confessed to police both the crimes. But again, you know, this, my speculatory nature makes me wonder about that quite a bit. Bouncing back to Russia right now, and international organizations have confirmed the reports contained in the Russian White Book listing the human rights violations by Kiev troops in the eastern Ukraine, says the Russian Foreign Ministry's top human rights official. They go on to say, for the first time, Human Rights Watch clearly recognized that the Ukrainian military are using multiple launch missile systems and banned weapons against the citizens in Donbass. This confirms the data contained in the White Book released by the Federan, by the Russian Foreign Ministry, according to the Foreign Ministry's Organization for Human Rights and the Rule of Law in Kandavstan Dolgov. He is the Foreign Ministry's plenipotentiary, that is his name. He told a conference that in Moscow on Russia that rights activists must put pressure on the West and Kiev, obviously, to prevent further crimes. This conference that he was attending was to mark the publication of the third edition of the White Book, which is the updated edition containing documented proof of new crimes and abuses, in particular those connected with the strategy of social and economic strangling of the Eastern Republics by the Kiev regime. Earlier this week, the human rights group said Kiev had failed to investigate its army's use of prohibited cluster bombs against civilians and recommended the International Criminal Court be invited to investigate. The main objective with the White Book was to provide the international community with facts and to draw additional attention to the human rights violations to such bodies as the UN, the OSCE, and the Council of Europe. But the most important thing is to start an independent and unbiased probe into all the crimes committed against the civilians in Ukraine, according to the Russian diplomat. The book has been amended with reports on the shelling of Donetsk residential districts and on the deaths of children, on mass civilian graves, on Kiev troops deliberately targeting civilian infrastructure, and on the contradictions surrounding the downing of the Malaysian airliner. It also gives updated casualty figures with 4,000 confirmed killed and 9,000 wounded since the beginning of the conflict. As we've reported, many of the victims are women and children, elderly people, and disabled people, according to the Russian report. So international organizations now agreeing with Russia and also recommending that potentially some of this information being taken to the International Criminal Court to be investigated. I think it's very safe to say, with over a million people displaced in Kiev, I'm sorry, in the eastern part of Ukraine right now, that that we just don't know enough about what's going on over there. And I think that's par for the course for everything that we see. And in related news, Poroshenko has now ordered a ceasefire. He's calling it a day of silence in eastern Ukraine. It's supposed to begin on the 9th of December, and the move is aimed to secure previous ceasefire agreements reached in Minsk earlier in September. The day of silence, according to him, should be launched in the region on December 9th, with further moves to be applied should the anti-government forces violate the previous Minsk agreements, according to the president's official website. The leaders of the People's Donetsk and Lugansk Republic say they are eager to accept the move suggested by Kiev, but they obviously have lingering doubts that the government forces will observe the ceasefire, as they have clearly not been observing the ceasefire so far. So what is going to happen on December 9th? Difficult to say. December 9th obviously being just Tuesday of next week, and kind of leaves them with only Monday to come to some terms of agreement in terms of that ceasefire. So Monday we should have some more news on that. China, big news coming out of China. Chinese authorities have announced that beginning January 1st, executed prisoners will no longer be used as a source of organ transplants. Yep, that's fantastic news. So the controversial prisoner organ donation program is said to be terminated starting the beginning of next year, according to the head of the country's organ transplant program, Dr. Huang Zhifu. He said on Wednesday at an organ donation conference in Kunming in southwest China. In 2009, the Chinese media reported that 65% of transplanted organs were sourced from prisoners. Yikes. And human rights organizations have criticized the decades-long practice, as voluntary consent is dubious in light of incarceration and the country's desire for organs. So some critics have even warned that an unchecked system might even generate a demand for executions. I think that is a slippery slope that is pretty freaking obvious to me. So I guess that's good news that they're going to finally quell their decades-long organ harvesting program taken from executed prisoners. I guess we'll see if that actually sticks or not. Moving on to some national news. Some big, big, big things going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. Emails have now been released showing that the FBI did, in fact, work to debunk conspiracy theories about reporter Michael Hastings' death. And those of you guys who may not remember, Michael Hastings was a Rolling Stones journalist who died in his Mercedes-Benz in L.A. last year. I believe it was in July, after allegedly driving over 100 miles an hour and slamming into a tree, at which point his vehicle burst into flames. But there are a lot of people out there who say that is not at all the way it happened. It's actually one of the reasons that Joe Biggs ended up at InfoWars, because Joe Biggs, while working in Afghanistan, by being stationed in Afghanistan, was actually in contact with Michael Hastings, and they became good friends. And so Joe Biggs, after Michael Hastings' death, has done a lot of investigation, and there have been a lot of information that has come to light since then. But now, as of just yesterday, the FBI has come out, and the FBI hasn't come out. Essentially, dozens of internal emails obtained through the Freedom of Information request by Vice News and by Ryan Shapiro basically show how the FBI took steps to dispute the suggestions that Hastings' death was not an accident. So there are Laura Emilier was in here. She was a spokesman with the FBI Los Angeles World with the FBI's Los Angeles Field Office. And there's some interdepartmental communications coming from her and one of her counterparts at the LA Police Department. They do go on to say that that Mr. Hastings was not under any type of internal investigation from the FBI, but it is interesting that they do say that special effort needs to be put into quelling any of the conspiracy theories regarding Michael Hastings' death. And probably the most important conspiracy theory regarding his death is the fact that the motor of his car was found over 150 feet away and not in any direction that would correspond with the rules of physics, essentially. And I actually watched a video just the other day of an organization that destroys cars and takes cars apart to scrap them, and they do it in a very violent way. And this guy basically had a brand new BMW 7 Series there and a huge claw on a crane, and they were just dropping this huge claw on this car and just slamming it. But one of the things that they did before they kind of got into slamming the car was yank the hood off of this thing, and this claw came down and it grabbed the motor of the BMW, and I'm talking violent grabbing this thing. And it picked the entire car up from the motor, and then actually had to twist the motor around and get all, you know, to break it out. We're talking difficult. I've never seen, you know, someone try and yank a motor out of a car by force before. But the fact that Michael Hastings' motor ended up 150 feet away from him while his vehicle was on fire just doesn't correspond with the laws of physics. There's also some footage of him driving about 30 seconds before the incident where he was not being followed by anybody, so obviously not trying to outrun anyone. There's a lot of conjecture about whether his car could have been electronically controlled. I think a lot of people probably think that that was the case. I'm in that boat myself. But FBI coming out now saying that, people reporting now that the FBI has, in fact, done a lot to keep those conspiracy theories revolving around Michael Hastings under wraps. So that, to me, is more fuel for the fire that actually probably did really happen. So there you go. I want to also get into, we're going to have to talk about Ferguson. We're going to have to talk about Eric Gardner, guys. My goodness. This Eric Gardner situation, it took me a second. It took me a minute. It's not often that I am speechless. But okay, so one of the solutions to this whole police brutality situation, according to Barack Obama, is the body camera angle. And I even, you know, for the last few months, have been a big proponent of the body camera angle. But let's just take a second here and think about one key fact that we learned from the Eric Gardner situation, one piece of information that you guys might not be aware of. Do you know the only person that got indicted in the Eric Gardner situation? It's only one person that got indicted in that whole situation, and it was the guy who filmed it. So think about that for just a second. Now, we got Barack Obama saying, we're going to order 50,000 body cameras, right? 50,000 body cameras. That's going to help affect the police department. That'll make it more accountable. What have we seen on body cameras recently? Let's just stop and think for a second. Well, Albuquerque murdered the homeless man for sleeping outside. We saw that on a body camera, didn't we? No indictments, nothing. Eric Gardner situation. And the situation with Eric Gardner bothers me more and more the more I think about it, because, it was a homicide, right? There's only four kinds of death, guys. There's natural death, accidental death, suicide, homicide. That's it. There's only those four. It was ruled a homicide, right? That means his death was affected by another person. We also have it on video. There's not any kind of conjecture about whether or not he was armed, whether or not he ran away, whether or not there was an altercation. We have absolute evidence that there was none of that. We have absolute evidence that a police officer put his hands around his neck, put his arms around his neck, and choked him until he died. The guy asked for help 11 times. They didn't initiate any type of emergency medical care to the guy. They let him die there on the sidewalk. And no indictment. So what do we learn from that? I mean, what does that really mean? A, if you don't understand that that whole situation was effectively initiated by the ridiculous cigarette taxes that exist in New York State. You know, almost 40% of the cigarettes that are smoked in New York State right now are smuggled in because there are ridiculous tax constraints being put on these things. So if you don't understand that Eric Gardner died as a result of people trying to force taxation on him, if you don't believe that taxation is a force, go look at Eric Gardner's situation. And what are we going to learn, or what are we going to gain now from body cameras? All we know right now for sure is that it does not matter what is on film. It does not matter what's on film. It doesn't matter what the situation is. The state has effectively said that they have more rights than you do, and they will kill you. And you know what? If you're out in New York today, start selling loose cigarettes. Everybody in New York today, sell loose cigarettes. Make that your protest. Everybody should be out selling loosies today. That's nice. Anyway, we've got a 3-minute break, guys. We're going to come back. I got more national news, some tech stuff, and some health stuff. I appreciate you all being here. We're going to be back in 3 minutes. Keep it right here, you guys. Daily Dose of Deprogramming. We'll see if we can get our heads all straightened out together, guys.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Like a cancer that silently spreads.
Agent for Truth with Joe Bannister. Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
We are live right now, moving into the second segment of news today, and lots of stuff to talk about. I know I kind of went off on a mini tirade over this Eric Garner situation, but ladies and gentlemen, I honestly, it's not often that I am speechless, but I am completely astounded because, you know, the effect of that ruling it essentially means that it is open season on anybody who doesn't comply with law enforcement at this point. They, you know, if you couldn't get a more clear-cut case of a mandatory indictment, in my opinion. And what do we see? Nothing. So that's going to be par for the course for the while now. And just ridiculous. And then there, you know, so we know that the body camera issue is gone. You know, we can just dismiss that as being completely irrelevant at this point. If there's one thing that we learned from the Gardner situation, is that it's more likely that if you're filming an incident that you're going to be indicted than you are if you actually murder somebody on film. So again, body cameras out the week or out the door on that. But more stupidity, as far as I'm concerned, involved with Barack Obama's plan to deal with this police brutality and militarization. Obviously, we talked about the $263 million that he is planning on putting towards this effort. But there's another incredibly disingenuous element of his master plan, and that is his appointment of the Philadelphia Police Commissioner, Charles Ramsey, to take the chair on what he is calling the Task Force on the 21st Century Policing. Ramsey is co-chairing the task force with Lori Robinson, a former assistant attorney general and professor at George Mason University. The task force is allegedly responsible for restoring trust and good relation between police officers and communities. So why then is Charles Ramsey's decision or the choice of Charles Ramsey not a good one? Well, let's just talk about that for just a second. He was at one time the police chief of Washington, D.C. He's also presided over the Philadelphia's police department since 2008. He worked for the Chicago Police Department for 30 years, and he is currently a member of the United States Homeland Security Advisory Council. On his watch, a federal investigation into corruption was launched over conspiracy, robbery, extortion, kidnapping, and drug dealing. The Philadelphia police were caught ignoring thousands of rape cases to keep their crime numbers low. Not kidding. Before marijuana was decriminalized, Philly police arrested African Americans for marijuana at an even higher rate than the rest of the country, which is already pretty darn high. And even after a decriminalization bill was passed in Philadelphia back in June, Ramsey has gone on to vow to continue to arrest, making arrests in the marijuana world, you know, pursuant to Pennsylvania law. Other cops under his steward stole $500,000 of drug money from suspects. So is he going to be really a good choice in terms of trying to clean up the task force? No, this is just more open, ridiculous. It's a scam. It's a scam. It's more part of a scam, and it just makes me disgusted because there are actually real solutions to this issue out there, and nobody's going to do anything, really. Fundamentally, we had an option yesterday or the day before with Eric, and we blew it, ladies and gentlemen, blew it. And New York is right now preparing for the funeral, which is happening today, of the man apparently inadvertently shot by policemen in a dark stairwell after further protests over the grand jury decision not to indict another officer for the chokehold death of an unarmed black man. The city has now seen two nights of largely peaceful demonstrations after no charges were brought against the New York PD officer, Daniel Pantolino, Pantaleo, excuse me, for his role in the confrontation that killed Eric Garner. So again, protests the last two nights, largely peaceful in New York. But New York also preparing for that funeral today of the gentleman who was shot in the stairwell with his girlfriend by the rookie cop who was either opening the door with his gun in his hands, which is obviously not OSHA-approved methods for handling firearms, or he was a coward and got scared because he shouldn't be a police officer and shot somebody. So anyway, thousands of demonstrators did block streets, snarling New York traffic into this morning after the grand jury decision. So again, more information about protests that are less peaceful going on in New York and the surrounding areas. They said they arrested about 30 people in that. And in a related story, St. Louis police took a man into custody on Wednesday night for driving his minivan into a group of protesters and then waving a handgun at them, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Activists preparing for a die-in, which includes lying in the street in Maryland Plaza at about 8 p.m. The protest, the decision, obviously, about Eric Garner. And as they did, a man driving a Town and Country minivan drove through the intersection and accelerated towards the crowd. One woman was seen crouching on the hood of the minivan as the van continued forward. She fell off. After a short chase, the protesters were able to stop the driver. And in photos taken by the Post-Dispatch's David Carson, the male white driver was seen brandishing a semi-automatic firearm. And the protesters actually broke the man's window out at some point. They said four activists had been hit, but no one was seriously hurt. So the rhetoric still blowing up across the country and people still getting ready to, still trying to fight each other. They're keeping us nice and divided, aren't they, guys? And then in a follow-up report, police investigators are still currently considering charging Michael Brown's stepfather, Lewis Head, for attempting to incite a riot after it was announced that Darren Wilson wouldn't be indicted. Obviously, there's a lot of video out there of Michael Brown's stepfather, Lewis Head, shouting, "Burn this B-word down," after the decision was announced. So obviously, they're making some investigation into whether or not he could be or will be charged with inciting a riot. There are also some other people that have been arrested under the same investigation. So Michael Brown's family not out of the woods yet. Let's see here. The U.S. House of Representatives has overwhelmingly approved a document which strongly condemns Moscow's action against its neighbors, calling Moscow's action a policy of aggression. This passed just yesterday in the House with a 411-10 vote for this resolution, which slams Russia's continuing political, economic, and military aggression against Ukraine, Georgia, and Moldova, and the continuing violation of their sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity. So the resolution calls for Russia to stop supporting local militias in eastern Ukraine and for the cancellation of Crimea's decision to join Russia. In addition, it calls on Moscow to withdraw its troops, which the U.S. claim are in the Ukraine, Georgia, and the Moldova. The House also calls on Barack Obama to provide Ukraine with defense, equipment, and training. So there you go. More rhetoric against Russia coming to the surface. Good times. And a huge move from Utah. We got to give some major props to Utah because in 3 weeks, Utah intends to seize control of 31.2 million acres of its own land now under control of the federal government. And at least that right now is the plan. It's an unprecedented challenge to the federal dominance of western state lands. And Utah Governor Gary Herbert in 2012 actually signed the Transfer of Public Lands Act, which demanded that Washington relinquish its hold on the land, which represents more than half of the state's 54.3 million acres. So far, however, the federal government hasn't given it any indication that it plans on cooperating. Still, State Representative Ken Ivory, who sponsored the legislation, is not deterred. He said that's what you want to do anytime you're negotiating with a partner. You set a date. Unfortunately, our federal partner has decided that they don't want to negotiate in good faith, so we're going to go ahead and move forward with the four-step plan that the governor has already laid out. In other words, there will not be any escorting of federal officials by state troopers to the eastern border. He said instead, state officials will proceed with a program of education, negotiation, legislation, and eventually litigation. He says, we are going to move forward and use all of the resources at our disposal. Of course, this is Mr. Ivory talking. He also heads the American Lands Council, which advocates the relinquishing of federal lands to control of the states. And that is a fantastic move coming out of Utah. Major props to them. I hope they are successful in that. That would be absolutely wonderful. And a little bit more police news today. NYPD officer Philip Leroy, who was actually named Cop of the Year at his precinct in Queens 2 years ago. Well, he was arrested for allegedly buying cocaine in Florida the other day. So the Post reported on Wednesday that Leroy and two other men busted just before midnight on Monday in Sunrise City, Florida, northwest of Fort Lauderdale. According to the paper, the trio were buying 10 kilograms of cocaine. So there you go. Again, you see, you wonder why drugs are illegal in our country, and it's because they are funding law enforcement's retirement programs. That's why that you always see law enforcement officers not wanting decriminalization. I guess that's probably too much of a generalization, but that's certainly how I feel at this point. I want to move on to some tech news right now. I'm sorry, let's move on to some economic news here real quick. Dow is up 64 points, sitting at 17,964. Gold and silver, gold's actually down a bit today, below 1,200 to 1,195. Silver following suit with a 1.5% dip to 16.31. Let's see where oil is at. Oil dipping down another 2% today, sitting right at 65.48. So wondering again what the result of that falling oil prices could be. There is an indicator right now that these falling oil prices could, in fact, spark a financial crisis. The oil and gas boom in the United States has been made possible by extensive credit afforded to the drillers. But not only has financing come from company shareholders and traditional banks, but the hundreds of billions of dollars has also come from the junk bond investors looking for high returns. Now, we had that discussion earlier this week with V, and he went on to outline the fact that the energy junk bond market is essentially the canary in the coal mine right now. It has reached right now $210 billion, which is about 16% of the $1.3 trillion junk bond market, and that's absolutely a huge rise from just 4% of the energy debt represented 10 years ago. So again, if we see oil prices staying at that 65 per barrel for about the next 3 years, 40% of all energy junk bonds could be looking at default, and this is according to a recent JP Morgan estimate. While that is a long-term and uncertain scenario, the pain is obviously already being felt today. The FT reported that a third of energy debt issued in the junk bond market is currently already in the distressed territory. So again, if we see these prices staying as low as they are in the oil market, potential that it could trigger some of the hedge funds to automatically start liquidating their positions, and that is a pretty big deal right now. And other people, here's a indicator from Mark Salvo at IntelliHub, also saying that the global economy and geopolitical environment, it is not hard to see when you're looking at these that something very, very serious is going on. Russia right now currently involved in one of the largest militarization efforts in world history. Economic sanctions from the West now collapsing their economy. As others have suggested, it's only a matter of time before the regionalized conflicts in Europe and the Middle East actually go global. Resources, namely oil, are now being used as a weapon, with prices having been dropped precipitously over the last 12 months. In the United States, central bankers have printed trillions of dollars in an effort to keep the economy afloat. But the latest retail numbers, obviously Black Friday down 11% from last year, suggest that the American consumer may already be tapped out. And moreover, the purported economic recovery is quickly being revealed for the sham that it is, as home sales across the United States have once again turned down, and tens of millions of Americans remain jobless and dependent upon government assistance just to survive. And as the financial analyst Greg Manarino notes in his interview with Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog, the United States is desperately trying to prop up the economy with propaganda and machinations that include, among other things, the latest immigration amnesty orders issued by President Obama. And if Manarino is right, then we may well be approaching a calamity unlike anything the world has ever experienced. Now, of course, he goes on to explain some of the reasons that he thinks this might actually happen, but the subprime debts in the auto industry and also the student loan debts that nobody is talking about right now, both key indicators that something very big might happen. In some Bitcoin news, the U.S. Marshals Service just yesterday began auctioning off an additional 50,000 Bitcoins seized during the prosecution of the alleged owner of Silk Road, which was the internet black market bazaar where authorities say drugs and other illegal goods could be bought. The 6-hour auction began yesterday at 8 in the morning, and it went for nearly $18.6 million worth of bitcoins. The winners are going to be notified today. This is the second such auction following an earlier one in June for about 30,000 bitcoins seized during that same Silk Road raid back in 2013. To date, the government has issued 173,000 bitcoins while pursuing the case, including 144,000 from computer hardware belonging to Russ Ulbricht, who was, of course, the alleged creator of the underground website. As part of the civil forfeiture proceeding, Ulbricht and the government reached a deal in January in which the bitcoins on his hardware could be sold and the proceeds then held pending the outcome of his case. The remaining 94,000 bitcoins from Ulbricht's hardware will be auctioned in the coming months. So fleecing that guy using the theory of what is that word that I'm missing right now? It's where they steal money from you. I can't think of what it's called, right? Civil forfeiture. It's interesting, that civil forfeiture. They actually put the thing on trial and not you. And I don't know how a thing on trial is supposed to defend itself, but that is apparently how civil forfeiture actually works. It's not you on trial. It is the thing that they are trying to steal from you. So apparently Bitcoin, in that case, guilty of guilty of whatever it is that they needed it to be guilty of so they could steal it. So there you go. Good news coming out of the Vatican right now. There's been a lot of concerns about whether or not the Vatican's financial situation was good or not. But the Vatican's economy minister has come out now and said that hundreds of millions of euros were found tucked away in accounts of various Holy See departments without ever having appeared in the city-state's balance sheets. So in an article for Britain's Catholic Herald magazine, which will come out today, the Australian Cardinal George Pell wrote that the discovery meant the overall Vatican finances were in much better shape than previously believed. In fact, he goes on to say, we have discovered that the situation is much healthier than it seemed because some hundreds of millions of euros were tucked away in particular sectional accounts and didn't appear on the balance sheets. So it's important to point out that the Vatican is not broke. The Holy See is paying its way while possessing substantial assets and investments. So good news there. Vatican finding hundreds of millions of euros tucked away. Good times. Love to hear good news like that. I wish I could find hundreds of millions of dollars of euros tucked away, but I keep searching the house, checked in the dryer vent, nothing at all. Moving on to some tech news right now. The intelligence agencies are clamoring for an even more super computer. Okay, so the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects activity is funding research that could fundamentally change the field of supercomputing. In an announcement today, the IARPA, the intelligence community's research arm, awarded research contracts in support of its Cryogenic Computer Complexity, or C3, a program that IARPA hopes will lead to a new generation of energy-efficient superconducting computers that far exceed the capabilities of current superconductors. The multi-year research may also make the U.S. government the front runner over China and Russia, also over the European Union and Japan in the global race to build a supercomputer capable of breaking the famed exaflop barrier, which is capable of a quintillion, or a 1 with 18 zeros behind it, floating point operations per second. This would be a ridiculous boost to computing power across the planet, but we are getting into the world where you start running into the problem of keeping all this equipment cool and things like that. So the investment that required to develop a program like this or develop a system like this is pretty astronomical. Japan actually just invested $1 billion in an attempt to build the world's first exascale computer. So we'll be following that. But the intelligence communities, obviously trying to stay one step ahead of everyone else, want the best and fastest for themselves first. So there you go. Google wants to replace passwords with fingerprints and eyeballs, apparently. Google Glass is due to receive an update in 2015, and if a Google patent submitted last month is any indication, it could include a few new features that let wearers use their fingerprints or scans of their eyeballs instead of passwords on websites. In November, Google announced a patent application to explore ways to replace website passwords with biometric data from a wearable device. In the filing, Google references a head-mounted display that could then scan a wearer's fingerprints, eyeballs, veins, or even his or her voice pattern, and then use that data to access websites on a computer or a mobile device. So they don't actually say that it's going to be for the Google Glass, but in their patent there are some diagrams that do happen to look quite a bit like a certain $1,500 head-mounted Google computer. So there you go, Google moving forward with biometric scanning to replace passwords. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Kind of difficult to say at this point. I just don't know. And then we got this huge news coming out of Natural News today. This is Mike Adams, always put out the great stuff here. But he has got a very startling report coming from his network of contacts in the U.S. government. Apparently, the U.S. government is putting systems in place right now to block out online news sites like Natural News or Drudge Report and The Blaze. And a practice run actually took place earlier this week in California and has already achieved the results and confirmed the technical ability to make this happen at will. The recent outage of news sites experienced by internet users in California was reported first in an article on Before It's News and then confirmed by the Washington Times later this week, as well as The Blaze and other news sites. Natural News readers service team also recorded numerous complaints from California users who were unable to reach the website, even though the site was functioning perfectly and serving pages worldwide. So what is especially telling about this outage is that it is only designed to affect online news sites while allowing other internet traffic to flow normally. This is selective targeting of news sites and could have been accomplished by deep packet inspection used inside the routers that move information packets along the internet. That's according to the Before It's News technical staff. This technology allows ISPs to look inside the packets of your computer and send and receive them, and then make decisions about how to allow or whether to allow the packets through, modify the packets, or to block them. The selective targeting proves that this is not, as Mike goes on to say, not a general outage. This is traffic blockage that is specifically targeting online news sites. Now, why would they be wanting to do that? Mike goes on to suggest that potentially it's because there is a planned major event coming up, and goes on to talk about Guccifer. A lot of you guys might, if you're tech savvy people, might have followed the arrest of Guccifer earlier this year. He was a very infamous hacker who is under arrest right now, but he is well known for hacking into the email accounts of the members of the Bush family in the United States. And according to numerous stories in the mainstream media, he actually acquired emails which spoke of nuclear detonations in a major city in Pennsylvania in the upcoming year. And what's interesting also about his case is although there was a psychologist who was with him as he was being interviewed by the New York Times for this story, the psychologist came out and said, you know, essentially this guy is not crazy and he absolutely believes what it is that he is saying. So indication now that the alternative news sites are going to be shut down if there is some sort of catastrophic event. They've already had a try run in California, which was successful. Just very, very scary stuff. Pardon me going on there. I want to get... Oh, I forgot to mention today, on the front page of redpillreports.com was the picture of the Orion launch this morning. I unfortunately was not up in time to witness the launch, but NASA did successfully launch the Alliance Delta IV Heavy rocket this morning. Lifted off from Cape Canaveral at about 7:05 Eastern this morning. So very good news. That one made it off the ground and didn't explode. I'm sure the people there at NASA super duper excited about that. I did forget to mention that. And I also want to mention that NASA is planning on holding a December 8th media teleconference on the Mars rover Curiosity observations. Who knows what they will be willing to show and what they'll be obfuscating in this, but they are actually going to host a media teleconference at noon on Monday, this coming up Monday, to discuss some of the geological observations made by the rover. Obviously, we're talking about the rover Curiosity that landed on Mars in 2012 in a crater 96 miles in diameter, dubbed the Gale Crater. Researchers have since been using the rover to investigate the red planet to determine current environmental conditions. They hunt for clues about the environment of ancient Mars, and the rover currently is examining geological layers at the base of a layered mountain in the middle of the crater. So hopefully some disclosure coming out there when that teleconference happens on December 8th, Monday, December 8th. I think that'll be very interesting. So, moving into some health news right now. Good news coming out of the U.S. Health Agency. They're saying a sampling of the flu cases so far this season suggests that the current flu vaccine may not be a good match for the seasonal flu strain currently circulating in the United States. This is, of course, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They said this on Wednesday. They actually issued a health advisory to doctors noting that the flu virus samples the agency took from October 1st through November 22nd shows that just under half were a good match for the current influenza A flu strain, which is contained in the current H3N2LU shot for the 2014-2015 season. So hurry up, go out, and get your ineffective, non-realistic flu shot. That's fantastic stuff. Garlic is a fantastic report right now coming out of the Natural Society, showing some indications that garlic itself could be as effective as beta blocker atenolol. In terms of keeping people healthy, dropping your systolic blood pressure and things like that. So I would highly recommend people go check that article out. There's another one from Green Med Info outlining a bunch of research talking about how walnuts can be one of the healthiest foods that you can possibly eat, controlling weight, risk decreasing the risk of cardiovascular disease, improving endocrine parameters, all kinds of great stuff. And there's another report coming out today from Natural News talking about one of the additives that they use in pigs and turkey farms. It's called ractopamine. It's a beta agonist, and it's fed to animals in order to increase the rate at which they convert muscle and convert feed to muscle by mimicking the body's natural stress hormones. There's been a lot of indications now that those additives are actually bleeding over into our food supply and can cause things like tremors and just all kinds of horrible, awful things. So check out the health section today. I'm obviously not going to be able to get through nearly as much as I would like to. There's a couple of fantastically great stories also. One, I want to draw some quick attention to. There was a team. I'm not going to be able to do it, guys. Go check out the redpillreports.com today. We're going to come back from this break. We will have Billy Hayes with us and hopefully Alana Freeland. We're going to be talking about geoengineering and the militarization thereof. Be back in 3 minutes, guys. Keep it right.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker for free. Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking iodine now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Micro Plant Powder family. Micro Plant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at hempusa.org.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am doing everything I can right now to get our guest here on the phone. So you guys are going to just have to bear with me here. This is one of the joys of live radio. And we are, as I said, trying to reach out to Alana Freeland right now. We are able to get her on a single line, but I haven't been able to reach her via Skype yet. So if you hear some ringing in the background, ladies and gentlemen, this is just me online. I do right now have Mr. Billy Hayes on the phone. Billy, thank you very much for being here today. We are having a little trouble hooking up with Elena right now, so I'm doing everything I can to get her on the phone here. And it looks like we're working on that right now. But, Billy, Mr. Hayes, I guess my name's JD. I appreciate you guys, both trying to, be here. Okay, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. We're having some technical issues here. I'm going to call Elena via her cell number here and see if we can get her that way. Billy, if you don't mind, Mr. Hayes, since we are all new to you and haven't gotten the pleasure of actually meeting you, would you do us a favor and just kind of give us a little bit of insight into your background?
Okay. Best way to start is with H-A-R-P, HARP. Mm-hmm. Which was Gerald Bull's super gun back in the 50s. My dad and I worked with it. We then, I was just a kid back then, but I could fit down inside the barrel and clean the barrel for Gerald. So I became part of that system there.
Okay.
During the last firing of the big gun in the United States, which was 1963, just happened to be the same date that the Anchorage, Alaska system went into their huge earthquake.
Okay.
And what they were doing, they were firing an atomic bomb into the upper atmosphere to ring the magnetosphere in a project called Project Starfish.
Okay.
And my dad headed up all the electronics and all the communications back in those days. He was assigned to Eglin Air Force Base, which is where I grew up, and I got into trouble.
Well, it seems like we may have lost Billy. Are you still there, Billy?
Well, my dad was at Cape Lisburn, Alaska, and I'm on the air. Hello?
I got you. Yep, we hear you.
Hello, hello, hello.
We hear you.
Okay, I don't know where you lost me at. But anyway, so I got, I became part of a program with, through the use of a school there, Mariana, a school for boys, a detention, a delinquent boys home.
Okay.
I ran away a couple times while my dad was, on remote touring, and, I got in trouble, and they didn't want to put up with me. It put me in a Mariana home for boys, which now is called the White House Boys.
Okay.
And it was a clearinghouse for profiling young men for MK Ultra.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And at the age of 12, I became free again from that system by a man called Ors B. Kenny, the principal at the school of Niceville. Mm-hmm. And he and the base commander of the Air Force base and what they call those? Not a preacher, they call them chaplain.
Right,
chaplain,
okay.
Baker. Chaplain Baker got me released from the Mariana School for Boys, and they proceeded filing charges against that system. Meanwhile, I became part of a system under MK Ultra and started going through training and was reassigned back to Eglin as a 12-year-old to work on as a cleaner for Bitrol at Eglin Air Force Base.
Okay. What's Bitrol?
It is a part of a three-lettered component of the government.
Ah, okay. Well, I want to back up here for just a second, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for all the technical issues that we've been having. We do have Alana Freeland. I'm not going to mess that up again. Her name is Alana. I can get this correct, ladies and gentlemen. So let's just back up for just a second, okay? Alana Freeland is an author. She came out of the political age kind of during the COINTELPRO. She's done a lot of research into a lot of the underground economy on the underground banking system, the underground government, as you will. And she actually wrote a different book that has got a lot of reviews. I can't think of the name of it, of course, right now, as we're all...
Oh, you mean the Sub Rosa America?
The Sub Rosa, yeah, and that's sort of five volume book that you've written.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say it is. It's actually a fictional representation of what's happened to America since the seminal Kennedy assassination in Dallas. And I actually just finished the fifth book the other day, and I'm so proud of that work, and I did it fictionally because I needed a big picture.
Right. So it's essentially like a look back from the year 2019, as I understand. The reviews on Amazon are out of sight.
I mean, everybody needed a lot of room to tell all the levels.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's it. And mm-hmm. So it may seem strange that I then, when Adam Parfrey from Feral House asked me to write if I thought I could write a book on chemtrails, I had done some work for him before of editing. I thought, you know, I've got this whole file on military and chemtrails and HAARP, and I thought, shoot, yeah, I've got a master's in historiography. I can do this.
Right.
And then I had a biology background in undergrad. So, I felt really confident of my research skills and my ability to penetrate this science with just a good mind and a lot of attention and a lot of work. And then after I was on Coast to Coast, after the book came out, Billy contacted me, and we've been fast friends ever since.
Oh, nice. And now, of course, we're talking about the most recent book that you've got, which is Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And this is not a fictional book. You know, I read this thing, and it is so well researched. You know, the footnotes, the bibliography in it, the glossy photos that are in the center. I mean, this is one heck of an education for people who want to go to that next step. You know, a lot of people out there, we've had Dane Wigington on, there's really not a lot of speculation about whether or not these programs of geoengineering are taking place, but you really nail them down as far as they're being militarized. And that to me is, you know, what everybody wants to know why. You know, we can obviously see they're spraying stuff in the clouds, but why are they doing it? And why the HAARP? And why the other specific aspects of this stuff? And your book has done just a fantastic job of outlining for us really the totality of the geoengineering program as a weaponized system against the population of Earth, you know?
Yes, and I think that's the important part. I mean, there are really seven agendas, and one of them, only one of them, is weather. And people are really stuck on the weather because, of course, it's every day in our face that something weird is going on. And some people are even looking up and looking at the artificial clouds that they don't quite know are artificial and don't know the science or how this can possibly be done on a global scale. It's just something that the average American or anywhere in the world, the average citizen is, they don't have their head in the clouds that way where they can really see the big picture. And that's what the book.
Well, can we talk a little bit about what some of the other agendas are, since we're talking about it
to do is to present the big picture up to now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I've got them right here. Okay, so there's weather, environmental modification for warfare purposes. When you think warfare, don't just think the fields of France in World War II. This is a whole new warfare. This is a revolution in military affairs, what is called asymmetric warfare. It's not a direct warfare. It's oblique, it's covert, and it's electromagnetic. This is the crucial thing to understand for the warfare that is now being conducted as I speak. And it also has political and economic warfare added to it, which add to the asymmetry. And that would include muscling other nations like Iran, threatening them with drought, threatening that all the clouds that are coming their way will be whisked away, as they have been with California in the last 3 years, to some other region. It also includes economic warfare in the sense that weather derivatives are now very lucrative because the insider trading market knows when this technology is going to be used in various areas because all of the elites hang together, and that includes Monsanto, corporations like Monsanto, Raytheon, all the military industrial corporations. Okay, that's one. That's only one. Weather. And then now onto electromagnetic operations. There's a lot of experimentation going on through what HAARP did was draw the charged particles from the upper atmosphere into our lower atmosphere and using barium and aluminum, strontium, et cetera, all these conductive heavy metals to be able to conduct more in the lower atmosphere. And that conductivity has to do with communications, and I'll talk about that. Then there's the military operations, all the way from refueling low-orbiting platforms to space operations like what Billy and I are now looking at in a very serious manner is what's called the space fence technology that's being constructed. It's replacing the old ground-based missile defense system. Then there's the fourth operation would be the biological chemical operations. Again, a lot of experimentation going on. We're all a petri dish down here. We're all guinea pigs, biotechnical delivery of biowarfare components based on nanotechnology. And this would go all the way to controlling human behavior through the endocrine system, through the blood system, the nervous system. Then there's the fifth jet. Operation planetary geophysical, which means Earth changes and big involved in this, along with all the fracking going on, which right. Billy knows a lot about, and the ionospheric heater like HAARP, its tomography capabilities to penetrate the Earth miles and miles, which set off earthquakes, sinkholes are collapsing, salt domes are collapsing, and that also has to do with what I think is happening to the ionosphere and the magnetosphere. They've been deeply impacted by all of these. Not just the nuclear detonations going on up in the Van Allen belts, but also what's being done with HAARP, what was done with HAARP. The sixth is intelligence surveillance for the sake of C4, command, control, communications, and computers. And that it means communications for drones, all of the laptop boys running all sorts of unmanned aerial vehicles, virtual warfare, holographic things that will be happening in the skies, I'm sure, and of course the targeting of populations' brains for mind control. And finally, the seventh, most far out of all, is the detection and hiding of exotic propulsion systems. And very much this cloud cover could have varying purposes because the cloud cover is over. In the book, I only cover NATO countries. It's in all NATO countries. It seems to be part of joining NATO. But it is also in China, Russia, et cetera. Everyone's experimenting with this technology. So there are the seven operations.
Wow. And I want to know then how it is that that Mr. Hayes' research or his experience complements your own. What is it that Billy is able to bring to the table?
Well, Billy has worked on over 250 of those tower systems that are essential to the construction of the space fence, but has, I mean, he's been doing it since the early 60s, and he has the practical, the praxis that I lack. I have not crawled up those towers. In fact, Billy's health is suffering because of all those years of doing that. I'm just an ace researcher, and I know a good story when I see it, and I know that humanity is at stake. And I think Billy and I both, we're not in this for the money. We're not in this for the fame. We're in it because this is extremely serious for all of humanity, for the generations coming. And we work well together. We seem to be in synchronicity together, our minds as well. So I'm really, really happy that he found me.
Well, I'm glad that both of you guys were able to join us today. I know his mic might be muted right now. I'm hoping I can get him back on the horn here for just a sec, because I'm wondering, given all that experience from the technical side of actually being somebody responsible for building these things, I wanted to know what kind of warnings were given to him going in, if they had meetings about the potential health risks to making a system like this, or if all of that was kind of kept under wraps. And I'm also curious if there's any kind of insight into the intention of it being built, you know, if there were meetings beforehand saying we're building this because we want to accomplish this goal or something like that.
Well, Billy, let me just talk a minute about MKUltra. I don't think listeners may understand what it is to be subject to MKUltra. I mean, Billy really had very little choice in the life that he was led into. And it's important to understand that when you're dealing with defense contractors and three-letter agencies of the U.S. government, you're not in an open procedure. You're in a need-to-know procedure. And MKUltra is very compartmentalized itself. So, I mean, you know, I just want to say that is so real, and Billy is suffering from that past. And I did 10 years of research on MKUltra, so I'm very, very familiar with it. And I just wanted to put that in there. A lot of people don't even know the acronym MKUltra, and that's a really crucial piece to understanding this clandestine, covert government that we have running things.
I agree. And just to let you guys know, anybody listening to the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast absolutely knows what MKUltra is. We've had a lot of really fantastic discussions. We actually had a lady on the other day, Jamie Henshaw, who has written a book about all of the MKUltra victims that we can see in pop culture right now. Katy Perry's summing the devil at the Grammys and things like that. So we do here also have a pretty solid background in the MKUltra program, and it is unfortunate that it still seems to be carrying on today, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's graduated to remote control now. Okay, Billy, I'm sorry I interrupted.
No problem. You covered it perfectly. I'm having problems breathing, so I'm going to have to take a pause.
Oh, yeah, take your time, Billy.
Yeah, we can.
One of the things that some listeners are interested in, JD, is how the weather systems can be moved. Did you want me to kind of run through just the procedure?
I would love to. A lot of people are speculating. You know, we talk about Katrina and things like that, and whether or not we can steer these storms. If you've got evidence to suggest that we are absolutely doing that, we would love to hear it.
Yeah, and it's. You know, I guess it's because I'm completely inundated by a lot of people writing me, and I'm reading a lot of things, and so it's sort of second nature now. But I'm going to read what I wrote on my book, what I used to say on my book tour in September. especially when I hit California, which was really, really, as you know, you've had Dane on your show, the really feeling the oppression of a drought. In fact, Dane has gone as far as to say that California is being eliminated. So here's what I said. So how does it work? High over our heads, military and commercial jets lay nano-sized light metal chaff that remains suspended while the heavier metals drop slowly through our atmosphere. By firing radio frequency into this chemically enhanced, statically charged curtain of chaff, a dense wall is created. Radio and radar masers and lasers aligned onshore, offshore, on ships and aircraft now lay a conductive waveguide for funneling the moisture coming off the South Pacific and steering it north beyond California so it can be folded into the jet stream over Vancouver Island, which will then dip and head east, taking California's moisture with it to the Midwest or the southern states, or, as occurred just before I hit California, a dump, a flood, just outside Phoenix, Arizona, of all places. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it works between the chemtrails and what is we're calling the HAARP technology. Billy, if he comes back on, will explain how HAARP is not really functional now. It's not the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska, that he constructed, by the way. It is now a worldwide system that is includes lasers, masers, satellite, radio observatories, NEXRADs. All around us. Picture a grid in which, say you're going downtown in your town and it's all Wi-Fi'd. What you're passing through are invisible rays. They're waves. They have pulses in them. They have frequency in them. And you're oblivious to it. But slowly over time, chronic diseases begin to develop by living deeply mired in radio frequency and sometimes microwaves. So that's kind of what's being... set up is we're living in an electromagnetic grid now, and the chemtrails. I'm a good friends with Clifford Carnicum, and I don't know if we're going to cover Morgellons today, but we might touch on it. That's one of the biological experiments. But Clifford really, really keyed me into the deleterious effects of living in this electromagnetic soup and how it's such a perfect open field experiment for the military to run. And that would be mainly DARPA, and it would also include the EPA and the CDC. All of them see it as a perfect opportunity to experiment in a variety of things heading toward the future. Whereas all of us out here, we're just, we just want to live. And when Clifford was collecting the chemtrail precipitations and using the HEPA air filter to test what was in the air on a tiny, minute level. That was the time, I don't know if you remember, but I remember in the late 90s, from 95 to 2000, I guess they were experimenting with how much to drop, how much of a chemical load that people could handle, because the emergency rooms and clinics and hospitals were just inundated by people with what they call it flu-like symptoms, mm-hmm. but lacking the flu virus.
There's a bunch of respiratory infections, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and even now, like here where I live in the Pacific Northwest, when there's heavy chemming going on for two or so days, – pretty soon you hear the coughing and people are just dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. So it is every area, because it's experimental and they're still learning, getting a learning curve, every area is has a different chemical cocktail being dropped on it. And that would include the biologicals as well. Though the Morgellons, which Clifford Carnicom has more accurately renamed the cross-domain bacteria, because it crosses all three domains of life on Earth. It's in us. It's a blood-borne pathogen. It's not a skin pathogen. It's something that we've all breathed in on a nano scale. I know I have it because I've seen my saliva under the microscope. I've seen my blood. I've seen these cross-domain bacteria digging their heads into my erythrocytes and eating the iron, sucking the iron out of my blood cells. But I'm very functional. I'm fine. But I have for 45 years followed a specific diet, called macrobiotics. And I very much am aware every day of balancing my acidity and my alkaline ratio so that I keep that alkaline, because these cross-domain bacteria, Clifford Carnicom has found, do not do well in an alkaline environment. They thrive on an acid environment.
Wow.
So that's just to let people know. I know people get freaked out when I say this, that, oh my gosh, we've all breathed it in. I think we have. I can't speak for China and Russia. And this Clifford, I think, has over 200 people now from around the world who have sent him samples. So this is from that sampling, that to assume that we have all breathed it in, given that the primary, not the only, but the primary delivery system has been through the chemtrails. It could also be, I read a book by a woman who said that she thought she contracted Morgellons from her well. And that would make sense. Of course, then there's the GMOs. What has been genetically added to those GMOs? Very possibly something to do with this this cross-domain bacteria. I don't know. But it's very experimental for us too, right? We're being experimented on, but we're conscious beings. And now we're beginning to look at what is going on. And we're gathering our information together. We're on the internet. We're sharing stories. I mean, it's a very unorganized sort of learning and experimentation, but we have to do it because this is the era we're living in.
Right. Well, Alana and Billy, we are going to have to take a quick 3-minute break, so we are going to go to some commercials. We'll be right back. I want to talk about this space fence thing and about whether or not you guys feel like this effort has been...
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. iodine.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want.
Ever since our Google Plus integration, we've seen a 30% reduction in racist and bigoted comments. People are even starting to notice the complete lack of bigoted comments, and frankly, they miss them. To make up for this deficit, we have added auto-commenting bots to YouTube Plus that can be set to either type racist or hateful comments. Similar to the auto-comment bot, we've created the auto-spam bot, which allows terrible YouTubers to beg people to watch their horrible excuses for videos they put out. These comments can go out to every video they've ever interacted with.
Hey guys! So we're like really wanting to be filmmakers on YouTube, and we'd totes appreciate it if you come watch our videos and comment, like, and subscribe. That'd be totes amazeballs. Yeah, we really like subscribers.
YouTube Plus. We own you!
The State of Cannabis with Liam Sheff.
Mondays on True Frequency Radio.
It is straight up 11:30 Central Time, and we are live right now. We're very excited to be joined by Alana Freeland and by Billy Hayes today. Both of these folks bring together both sides of the coin in terms of the overarching agenda of the geoengineering projects, as well as Billy bringing to the table the technical aspects and kind of the more, I guess we should say, scientific aspects of what's actually going on from a technical standpoint. And before the break, we had kind of started to broach the subject of this space fence issue. And Billy, you had sent me a little blurb in Skype talking about how the space fence is actually being used right now to control the typhoon. Is it Hagutit that they are calling, that they're saying is now being controlled by the space fence? Can you give us some information about the space fence, what it is, and how it's actually being used to control typhoons and potentially that largest storm that ever hit Alaska just a few weeks ago?
Okay, space fence is a surveillance system from the past. Before, it was just surveilling the outer space. As of June 18th this year, they took the space fence and HAARP down at the same time.
Okay.
And when they, a month later, they announced that Raytheon and Lockheed were being given contracts to rebuild the space fence at a cost of $1.5 billion.
Wow, okay.
And the new system is utilizing the HAARP technology. On a digital basis, instead of using power itself, which is our protection from solar events, and okay, also retains the ozone layer. It had damaged it so bad that they were taking it down in a sequester to bring on the space fence back into the parameters of HAARP. Now the space fence not only covers surveillance of the outer space, but surveillance of every movement on this earth.
Wow.
By conjoining with every aspect of communications, of radar, of information that's at digital information that's everywhere in the world. This is all digital communications.
Is it a completely global project at this point? I mean, is it just over North America or anything, or is it completely global at this point?
It's absolutely, totally global. Everywhere there is a military station or a radar system that uses digital components, It is it. This includes all the information that comes from smart meters. Now we'll go through SpaceSense.
Oh, my gosh.
All digital information. This is what Snowden was telling us without breaking his code of ethics.
Mm-hmm. Well, how are they using it then to steer weather? I mean, is all the weather on the planet essentially digital at this point?
By utilizing the components that are within the chemical atmosphere, the digital components that they are putting into the atmosphere, this becomes part of that system of command. Go ahead.
When Billy says digital, think microprocessors and sensors on a nano scale that have been released into the atmosphere and, I might add, are in our blood system.
Wow. So essentially then, they've effectively put us on the radar of the space fence as well then, right? I mean.
Absolutely. And all these, the system that the space fence is now part of is part of the Patriot missile system, of the drone system, everything that's utilized that is digitally enhanced is now part of those space fence.
Is this also why we see places like New York? You know, they just had an announcement last week that they were yanking out all the payphones and they're going to put in a municipal Wi-Fi service, so essentially blanket all of Manhattan with Wi-Fi. We see Google trying to release, you know, balloons that will project internet back down into places where there are no, you know, internet connections right now. Is that why we see so many of the of these moves happening on the ground too, to try and expand that?
Absolutely. There's so many new gadgets that they're pouring into space. In fact, just today, the launch of the Orion craft at Cape Canaveral is part of this system. If they're talking about sending this thing up 3,600 miles, and then they're going to come back and make reentry. What they're not telling us is there's a payload that they're going to leave in space with this 3,600 mile trip out into outer space.
Right.
Then there's going to be recovery of a capsule, which is signifying the capsule that the returnees from Mars would be in.
Okay.
What they're not telling us is they're leaving this other big payload up there, which is part of the what's that system called? It's a new system that
the Starfire?
No, the RV-47 XB-47B.
Oh, right.
Oh, are you talking about NASA's secret plane that they've got tooling around now?
Yep. Well, this is the launch of another one. If you look at it, that's how they launched the last one, was on the same type system.
Any idea what is going to be included in the payload that just went up today?
Absolutely not. That is so classified.
Right.
I mean, they have wrapped that thing up. They did a full year of keeping this aircraft up without any known fuel subsidies on it.
Right.
Which speaks for what the intent is.
Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff.
But this new hurricane, by the way, is following all the same exact parameters of Hurricane Haiyan, the last super typhoon that hit, that did so much damage to the Philippines and almost went into Japan. Mm-hmm. And Japan is part of the system of this space fence. These new super Dorn sites are so committed to the pulsings that are being developed for this new space fence. And they're under the auspice of Virginia Tech.
Really?
Yep. And you know what's happened at Virginia Tech.
No, you have to fill me in.
Remember all the shootings?
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, there we go. All those shootings that were taking place were within 100 yards of the centralized component of Superdorn control.
And what Billy's getting at is that's the remote MKUltra. That's what I call EMKUltra. It's electronic now. It can be done remotely. And that shooter at Virginia Tech is very similar to the shooter that we had recently. And it seems that there's a connection between experimenting with building the space through systems like SuperDarn, and looking at how these shooters are being traumatized and taken over by the fact that our nervous system is plugged into this huge developing space fence and the Wi-Fi system that we're also attached to for our conveniences.
Right, right.
Hmm. And then bring up this other thing. You asked about the Arctic vortex. If you remember, last year was the first time we ever heard of the Arctic vortex.
Yeah.
And now we got the super Arctic vortex that came through this year. Mm-hmm. And already they're filing that there's going to be another one come up very shortly, as soon as this movement of this typhoon starts getting into the aeration of the jet stream, that we will be seeing another one very shortly.
So why do we think that they are then promoting that polar vortex, coming down here? Is this a drive for more money? They're able to sell more heating fuel or something like that? Or what is this, a warning from a different government that, you know, is this some other country trying to hurt us? What do you guys think is going on with that?
Ilana, you take that one. Now, that's too political for me.
Well, just keep in mind that all of this is still experimental. Moving weather systems, creating diversions mm-hmm. for people to be concerned about, making money for energy, as you're saying, energy corporations. It's so lucrative. I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, I always refer people to Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, wherein she lays out the coming disaster capitalism. We are at the point of, well, we're immersed in disaster capitalism now, and this system is perfect for it, to create disasters, to push the envelope, to make people afraid. All of this plays into the world politics that are going on. And when I say world politics, am I saying that our elite are somehow in cahoots with Russia and China? Well, yes, I think so. And I would say that they're more like sibling rivalry. It's how I view the entire Cold War now that I know so much more about it. The Cold War itself was a ruse, and it was a way to get money from people to stoke up the fear so that the military could build and create all these weapons that we're now beginning to see. I mean, this is... The elite way of doing things is entirely different from how we common people who have morality or who struggle to keep a semblance of morality and law, entirely different from how we live. So it's important to understand that we're looking at experimentation going on. So this, the polar vortex, the super typhoons, the super this, the super that, cold fronts, heat, sizzling heat, all of this is an attempt to really document and experiment on a huge playing field. I mean, this is the largest, I really think this is the largest experiment that's ever been done in human history.
Wow. Well, and it seems to me, I don't know if you guys noticed during the Thanksgiving holiday that we just had, here in Missouri, especially, I haven't seen a blue sky since I was a kid. You know, this is one of the things that really stands out to me, is that the hazy sky is always here in Missouri now. But on Thanksgiving Day, perfectly beautiful blue skies. So they apparently gave the sprayers the day off. But then the next day and the day after, they were back, and it was just unbelievable. The amount of spraying that went down before this quote unquote polar vortex was coming down was again unbelievable. And I'm kind of left with the impression, that they may have perfected their technique enough, because it seems to me like they have really ramped it up. Like it seems like, is that, you guys are under that impression too then?
Malarkey. Show me. Show me. let me put it this way. This year, Missouri, Kansas, we've had, just this last month, in the same month, we had the lowest lows ever seen in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turned around the next week, and we had the highest highs we've ever seen in Kansas.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
And then we turned around, and we did it again.
Yeah.
And again.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, we had there was beautiful weather, and then we had things that just never existed before. Same thing goes for what's going on out in California. They've been under what they call it when it's no water, drought.
Mm-hmm. Drought.
Okay, for how many?
3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this system moves through, this Arctic vortex moves through, sucks up everything out of the Pacific, takes it and goes up through the north, goes through the Arctic and shuts down on the jet stream. And the end result is all the moisture gets sucked into lower California. And after 3 years, boom, now we got flooding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
so,
this,
yeah.
It's instantaneous. You understand? It is no slow change in the climate. It is instantaneous.
And so if you think of that, instead of thinking of the Wizard of Oz behind his curtain pushing this button, okay, for lots of heat, and then now pushing this button for a huge drop, imagine that there is a natural weather system that has been so affected and is so primed and pumped and frequencied and pulsed, mm-hmm. that eventually there are times when the control is lost,
right.
and the edge is no longer defined. And then that's why I say it's still experimental. Otherwise, I can imagine a day coming in 50 years if there isn't some sort of terrible cataclysm from having destroyed our ionosphere and wounded our magnetosphere. I can imagine a time when it will just be a matter of pushing the buttons, but not right. now.
Well, and I think that's important to understand too, because, and I'm glad that you guys brought that up. One of the things that I had spoken about with Dane when he was here is kind of a lot alike what you're talking about now, and that I get the impression that the entire global ecosystem, I imagine it kind of like a big rubber band, and that we've just been pulling it and pulling it and pulling it and pulling it, and it's all tight and primed right now. But what happens when we do lose control, when that rubber band snaps and the global, you know, ecosystem says, wow, we're way off base here, we need to react, you know, and because everything obviously is going to come back around in some way. I think that potentiality definitely exists, and I think that is probably what frightens me the most, is that these guys have this desire to have control, but at the end of the day, you're dealing with things that they really don't understand yet.
Billy, what do you think of that?
I think it's when they lose control, it's going to be burn, baby, burn.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what do you think that's going to look like? Let's talk about what's the worst case scenario going forward. Say we don't get involved and these idiots are allowed to just continue with their, with their agenda. Where are they going next? What's the worst case going to look like?
Well, first of all, you have to understand this is a bunch of nuts out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're out for nothing but the gain of power,
yep.
gain of money, and the game of getting their name on the roster.
Okay.
They don't care about life. They're crazy. I mean, these are the mad scientists, you know, the guys with their hair stuck up and
right.
look like they've been through a centrifuge that was electrified. These are the people that we have to worry about.
Right.
They call themselves protectors of the Earth? No. These are the killers of Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to think of them as kind of a breakaway civilization. I mean, these guys we've known have got technology 35, 40 years in advance and have had that since at least the 1960s. So, you know, when I try and qualify these guys, my thoughts always go to, are these people going to destroy the Earth just for the sake of doing it, or are they trying to do it so they can actually, you know, decrease the population and try and create some kind of perfect planet that they can live on, or are they just going off grid, or, you know, they're trying to get themselves set up so that they can actually leave the planet. I have a lot of trouble trying to figure out just how bad these guys actually are, you know?
Well, just think of it this way. Look at the push to find another world that we can start a civilization on.
Mm-hmm.
The emphasis of trying to find, go to Mars and get there and find out if it's feasible to put mankind up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a push to do this. There's a push to find other ways of life elsewhere. And who's behind that? The people, the nuts that are out there that are doing the crazy things on this earth, mm-hmm. looking for a way out. Once they know they're going to goof up.
Yeah, and I would add that these elites, they do have a philosophy, I guess you'd call it, and it's empire. It's always about empire. And I go into that in the Sub Rosa America books, and of course you'd have to read the last scene to see how that ends up. But that it does. It always ends up badly for empire, as you know. I mean, any student of history knows that. It never works, but there is a huge thrust now. It isn't just playing in the sandbox. They have an agenda. They have an objective. And all of the money of the foundations, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, going toward, you know, paying for eugenics sorts of things and supporting the GMOs and all of this is heading for a transhumanist future. And that's what I'm going to cover in the next book with Billy's help. We're going to look at the space fence and what I call the lockdown of planet Earth, which will succeed if we're completely enclosed in an electromagnetic grid and envelope. That will cut us off from all sorts of cosmic influences that are beneficial to humanity and give us the proper, maybe help to keep the proper perspective on humanity, that we are not just machines, that we are not just something needing to be enhanced and changed, that we actually have a purpose. And I suppose that's what is most upsetting to me. Is the earth is for me a spiritual being.
Yes.
It has tremendous life forces. I mean, you put a seed in the earth and boom, you have food.
Right.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. And so the earth will take her own back. She always has. She will again. But for humanity, I think we're at a crossroads now, and if we continue to think of ourselves as machines and we allow this transhumanist plugging in of our nervous system and remote control over our thoughts, over our cell nature, over our DNA, I don't know how that's going to turn out. So I guess I'd have to say that's why I'm fighting so hard, mm-hmm. is I can see what the elites have in mind. They raise their children in terrible ways, mm-hmm. to, in order to hold the power, that they will, inherit. There is nothing I can say that is kind about their generations, their way of looking at bloodlines, their way of feeling that they are superior to all of humanity, their lack of serving those who are less fortunate, all of it. It is simply, for me, a spiritual war here. Wow. And I am completely involved in it, and I will continue to be completely involved in it because I do believe it is not hopeless. It isn't a say I have an easy solution for tomorrow or the next day.
Right.
This is us. And this time that I've been born into and many others have been born into is my battle. And I will fight to the best of my ability. And that intention itself bears fruit for the future. I know that.
Man, you are just saying so many fantastically wonderful things, Alana. I'm telling you, outlining this as a spiritual battle is so important. The idea that intention plays a role in this. I gotta tell you, and I'm gonna go way out into left field here real quick because of some of the things you just said, and just give you a little insight into my belief is that everybody is essentially eternal. Your consciousness is a frequency and it exists forever. But I have always thought, wouldn't it be frightening if the powers that be figured out a way to keep your eternal spirit or your eternal frequency from leaving the planet? And you start talking about this space fence thing, and that's exactly what I picture, is that they have, if they could somehow electronically control your frequency, that is the thing that powers your consciousness, would they try and do something like that? I think that's kind of a given at this point. And B, could they be successful in something like that? Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just look at the movies that are coming out, the films that are programming us for the future. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that they believe that they know exactly how things should be run here, that we're returning to a corporate feudalism at this point. It's the one percenters who really know the thing that should happen, and they want a large slave class. I think that some of the elites, however, go beyond that, the power and greed over human beings and having a slave class. I think what they're interested in is, what can we make as gods on the earth of the human being? What could we, let's fiddle around a bit and see what we can do. And we have these glorious computers with amazing, astounding computing capability. And, you know, there's a ghost in the machine. Can we somehow merge the human being with the ghost in the machine in this brain machine synthetic telepathy? Can we do something spectacular along those lines? Because after all, even if we kill a few or maim a few or they have bad lives, hey, human beings, the lower classes can always pop out another kid or two. I mean, the attitude toward the lower classes, as they're called, is just astonishing. And that tells me that those people were raised with pain, with lack of love. There was no caring for them. And, you know, I feel great compassion for them. However, I am very clear that we are on opposite sides.
Right.
It's of a line drawn in the earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your frequency. They know that pulsing, and that was discovered in MK Ultra, you pulse a child at a certain ratio to their own natural Schumann's resonance, 7.83, and you are going to change the consciousness and the very nervous system of that child. So they're very aware of this, and this is a grand experiment to see what can be made of a transhumanist singularity future.
Do you feel like that will be like the Morgellons 2.0? Like the Morgellons was kind of like the initial effort and they're getting their recipe right and then they're going to release the next?
Oh, yes. Yes. The Morgellons has nano sensors and nano microprocessors in it. All the people who have the lesions know that, because when they go toward their toaster oven, the fibers in their lesions poking their little heads out with blue, black, and red they go nuts. Oh. They love electromagnetism. Wow. So, you know, to all Morgellon sufferers who are listening, I say, turn off your Wi-Fi router. Do not do Wi-Fi.
Well, unfortunately, guys, we are out of time today. This has been Alana Freeland and Billy Hayes today. Thank you guys very much for joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Bye.
Bye, guys. We'll see you guys later. I hope to have you guys back again. Just a reminder to everybody, Gary Milievsky will be joining us on Monday. It is Friday. I hope all of you enjoy your weekend out there.
We think first of vague words that are synonyms for progress and pair them with footage of a high-speed train. Science is doing lots of stuff that may or may not have anything to do with us. See how this guy in a lab coat holds up a beaker? That means we do research. But we also do business in the USA, or want you to think we do. Check out this wind energy thing in Indiana, and this blue-collar guy with dirt on his face. Lest you think we're a faceless entity, look at all these attractive people, using a specific ratio of Asian people to black people to women to white men. We want to make sure we represent your needs and interests, or at least a version of your skin color in our ads. Did we put a baby in here? Yep.